stop on this train will be...
It's up to you, New York.
Swung on and hit in the air. City center. Fetch back. Away back. She is gone.
This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
Hello and welcome to another episode of 161st Street. I am your host, Luke Rella, here with...
Jay Cortman.
And Zach Brooks.
So, we're riding kind of high right now, I'd say. I'm feeling good. Could have been a really different episode if, you know, our boy
two
Mike Ford... Yeah, 2 days in a row, too, is nuts. But, I mean, if you haven't been watching, you've been under the rocks. We had another walk-off home run today. Our boy Mike Ford today, our boy DJ yesterday. We got a little bit out of the Seattle series. We got overall pitching dominance back. People coming back. A lot of injury updates for you guys. Bye, Gio. Hello, Voit. Judge tweaking A's series. Clint, Liam Hendricks sucks. Everything like that. More to come on this episode. What do we got for us to start off here, boys?
I'd say let's start with the Seattle series.
That was a joke.
We kind of needed one of those, though. We've been playing a lot of tough teams in that Hollywood series and before that. So, I mean, going against a team like Seattle would have helped us. It helped us out a lot for the confidence, especially coming into another series where we got swept last time against the A's. We much needed series win again. And actually, it's funny to see because before we walked off yesterday, they were like, oh, the Yankees need to rally before that game ended, the second game of the A's series. Because they were saying, like, we haven't lost in a series at home ever this year. I forget the entire stat it was, but it was crazy, and now we still haven't. We tied, too, but against the Mets, I think it was, which is crazy that it was the Mets that tied against us.
I hate beating the Mets.
Yeah, but, I mean, that record still stays intact. The other record that's still climbing is us still never getting shut out, which was
that's
seemingly
awesome.
in peril, but we still got... We still got that going, too, because, I mean, Mike Ford and others, Brett Gardner hits that random home run again. He loves hitting random home runs. But let's get back to the Seattle series. So with the Seattle series, what do we got for that?
We won.
Nothing more to talk about then, right?
Yeah,
Seattle, not much to talk about with the Seattle series. They suck. We did what we were supposed to do. We're a good team. We play against Seattle, beat them up a little bit. Seemed pretty easy, too, down the way. I mean, Judge going through that series, continuing to be hot. I mean... Judge is just sick, and when he's hot,
he's
the entire team is so much better because he's in the heart of that lineup. And I mean, honestly, I love that they brought Glaber back down, and now he's been batting in the middle of the lineup too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been batting in the eight spot forever, and now him in the three spot and the four spot is just sick because you want. I mean, who was it? David Cohn was talking about how you want to have your best hitters batting in the beginning of the lineup because you want them to get the most at bats because There was a point where he wasn't going to hit at the end of a game or something, and then he did, and he had a walk-off or something. He hit a home run. That was sick. So, good for the boys there.
Bringing it to the A series.
Yeah, let's talk about the A series. Seattle blows, so let's get into that.
All right. Game one didn't go so hot.
What was the final score of that game?
I was just trying to find that.
8-2?
Yeah, it was it. That's it. Yeah, 8-2.
Yeah, tough way to start, especially coming off that big series when it really sucked going against them again. And we got swept last time. We're feeling good going into that, and they just take the wind out of our sails again. Just like this fucking A's team. It's just so gay.
The first game was one with Domingo pitching, right?
No, that was the second
was
game. The first game the first game was who? Paxton? No, CeCe. The first game was CeCe.
Yeah,
and CeCe gets hurt again.
Yeah,
I mean, I feel bad for CeCe, though.
Why?
I mean, it's the man's last season, and now he might. And he, do you know what? He wants to play so bad.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to be in the lineup, especially with the team in his last year. You see the shit like Big Poppy going out on top with like the last year. He's a part of that team winning the World Series.
He
and,
won't.
Yeah, but like.
Hopefully out of
if
the bullpen.
He, I mean, they asked him, too. They said, how's your knee feeling? Like, on a scale of 1 to 10. And he said 10, like 10 being the worst. Like,
the worst?
He was asking how it feels in terms of pain. And he said it was a 10, which is crazy. He gets those cortisone shots every fucking time. Yeah, but, like, at what point do you need your knees?
After his career, maybe Maybe he doesn't.
I don't know. I mean, he just... I feel bad for him because he wants more than anything to be on this team and make a difference.
Yeah.
Even though he might not have it, which he doesn't. But
you know who else really wants to be on this team and just doesn't really have
we'll
it?
We'll get to him. I know you're about to talk about.
Sorry, I'm excited.
Spoiler alert, it's right, Clint. We'll get to him.
Then we got to game two. Domingo on the mound. He did all right. He did pretty well.
No, he looked good.
Yeah. He did look good.
Domingo looked good.
We got the right guys heating up at the right times. We got Sanchez with two, and
that was awesome. I mean, and that was another. Obviously. I mean, of course, LeMahieu. Yeah, oh, hey, I'm walk off DJ. Nice to meet me. but he. I mean, that's the stat also with that game, and with like the four horsemen pitching every single game. We're 24-0.
Yeah, that's absurd.
Every game where we have Ottavino. No, it's Canley, Britton, Ottavino, Chapman. Every game that they all pitch in, we're 24-0, and that almost didn't happen because. We almost lost in that game, but DJ saves that record. Yet another one. It's just the storylines of this season. Just amazing. But DJ is just something different, and he just continues to prove that he's the best offseason signing over any team, even including Michael Brantley, too.
Yeah, no question.
I mean, that's the only comparable one. But it's where
he's having a very – I mean, they're very close.
They're the most from a free agent standpoint. That's the only comparison you can really think of.
But yeah, the other thing I'm saying, though, is I think we needed DJ more than the Astros needed Brantley.
Yeah.
A utility gold glove guy that bats 330 and hits 25 home runs.
But the thing is, I didn't see that out of him. Like, he always did that in the Cleveland lineup, but he never was really, like... I mean, no, he's always been consistent.
I mean, they just never moved him around the same way.
The Indians were one of the most hurt teams in 2017, too, when we beat them. That was the year they had 22 wins in a row, right?
Yeah.
We were just watching that video.
Yeah, we just watched that video.
Fuck, this isn't an Indians podcast. Let's get back into the Yankees. We'll get into them if it actually does hurt, because we could face them in the playoffs, and we might get into that conversation a little later about who we'd like to face in the playoffs, but they also just lost Jose Ramirez, too, so, like,
it's tough.
That's a lot. And that hurts them, too, because they're talking about that online, how... Like, now that they can't make a move, like a Verlander move in August, because they did away with that rule. So now who you have is who you got for the rest of the year. You can't go out and replace a guy like Jose Ramirez, so kind of sucks to be them.
That's tough.
It's great that another team has to deal with some shit that we've been dealing with, but whatever. Never want to root for injury, but whatever.
Well, I mean, the other day, the Yankees broke the record for most injured players in a single season.
What was that number? It was
32.
We had 29 players, but we used it like 37 times or something like that.
That's terrible. That's a horrible record to break, but it's all. We posted that picture, too, but we still have the best record in MLB, which is disgusting. Yeah, first team to 90 wins, too. That's awesome. I mean, considering
the most hurt team, the best team.
That's so cool. So what are we on pace for to win? How many games this year?
How many games are left? Like 28?
Are we going to beat the Red Sox record from last year? That'd be really sick. Because you and I both know that's what Barletta's going to be talking about. Huh?
They were at 106 last year?
Yeah, they were at 106 last year.
So that's 16 more games we need to tie it. 17 to win.
The magic number for us is 16 now, right?
Is it?
Yeah.
I want to be brutally honest. I never knew how the magic number thing works.
I don't know how it works either.
It's just how many wins you need.
Just regardless of other people losing, too?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the magic number could be less wins, but... If we were to win out 16 games, then that's no matter what.
Yeah.
Like, if we were
it's
to
like
just,
once you get that 16th win, you clinch.
Yeah, but if other people lose, too, it could be 8 wins if people lose out and we win. Yeah. Regardless, we're making the playoffs. It's just a matter of who we're playing and when we're doing it. I mean, we're not making the wild card, so it's fine. That was a nonsense comment out of me. So, moving down the A series, we just watched another win, another walk-off win. I personally, when I saw Clint back in the lineup, I was hyped. What did you guys feel about that?
I wasn't. I knew you'd be hyped, but I wasn't hyped.
Why weren't? Let me hear your take on Clint Frazier, our pal, Scranton.
Did you see the stats he was putting up since he was demoted back to Scranton? I wasn't.
No, did you?
I did. They showed.
Well,
it
let me hear them.
He batted .246 with 8 home runs, and I want to say
8 home runs sounds good.
In 60 games, batting .246. I mean, that's just...
Not the best.
He had a good amount of doubles, which,
guy
was,
loves
which,
cats.
Which was impressive. He said his defense improved.
I saw a few videos.
Wait, it's hard to
get
not
worse.
Improve.
I did see a few videos. There was one good... I mean, they're obviously going to show the highlights, but I saw one video of him making that sliding catch.
They didn't put any highlights on.
I did see that highlight.
I didn't.
you haven't been paying attention then. Because like, I mean, he made one nice catch out there. I mean, I get it. It's one. And it was a foul ball.
If they were confident in his fielding, he wouldn't have been DHing.
It's also true. He did DH today.
That's true, too.
And I mean, got a pinch hit for.
But, I mean, the 40-man roster did just come up in the first game he's playing, so.
I would just like to point out when Mike Ford got put in for Clint Frazier, Luke Rella's face was just something I've never seen before. It was something of utter distraught.
And I don't know why. Looking back in hindsight, I don't know why I was so pissed about that. I just
Mike
wanted
Ford's
to see.
Been playing well.
I know he's been batting 500 in his last like 11 games or so. I don't know why I was so pissed, but I was. But then once he was batting, I was like, okay. When Gardner was up, I was like, okay, this makes sense. Because it was Liam Hendricks, who apparently was Roger Clemens' last couple series, or last series in this year as a whole. He's not the Liam Hendricks we know that we fucking dominated in that wild card game. He was the one that opened that game. So, different Liam Hendricks, and I wanted to see how he'd fare again. And I liked the idea because Gardner hadn't faced a righty all day. He's 0-for that whole game, and he was due for one of those random Gardner home runs that just sneak over the wall. That was a bomb, though.
Yeah. Off the bat, you knew it.
Yeah. No, that was sick. They were both no-doubters. But when I saw that and I saw the next three guys are all lefties going up against him, it was him, Gardner, Ford, and then Talkman was up next, who we don't obviously need when we hit a walk-off home run with Ford. But I liked the lefty-righty. It was definitely a good move by Boone.
I mean, what no one's really talking about now is how, like, Gardner's tied for the Yankees outfielder's lead in home runs. He's tied with Judge with 19.
Gardner played all year, though.
Yeah,
Gardner's not a home run hitter.
Well, he's having one of the best years of his career in terms of batting.
Yeah.
That's even, like, batting average as a whole. He's batting, like, 260, but he's never really batted have that high of a batting average.
Our nine-hole guy is batting 285. That's just not the coolest thing ever.
Who?
Talkman's batting 285 or something around there.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, has he been coming back down to earth, you guys think?
Yeah.
Yes. Is he now losing a spot a lot easier? Like, before we were talking
Absolutely.
About it with Stanton coming back, we're like, oh, I don't know if he even he goes out of the lineup.
He's replaceable now.
Yeah, now he's I mean, that's
he's
not
good.
To say he's playing bad.
Yeah.
But he is not putting up those crazy numbers.
If someone's having a bad night and you put him in the seventh inning, I'm not complaining. But if you say Stan's getting replaced for him, getting replaced with him, like, that's fine with me also.
Yeah, my thing with him, though, is he's always been sick in the field, though. Like, you always see him making great plays out there.
True.
He's a good arm. Like, do you DH Stanton? I've always been a believer in Stanton's field. Like, he's still a good fielder. It's just everyone thinks he's such a block of muscle that he is not a good fielder. But he is. He came in for a couple games, and he had a great play, a sliding play.
He's an average fielder.
Yeah.
He's a decent fielder, but if you can take away from the risk of him getting injured by not playing in the field, then I say just keep him at a DH.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever, let's move on. Well, that's a decision for another person, but we'll get into some of the injury updates we get. There's a lot of new stuff coming in and out. Gio, hello, Voit. I mean, Gio goes down, but he actually looks like he's going to be fine. Does anyone have an update on him?
No, I don't.
I said no more than 10 days, right?
Yeah, he'll be
back. No more than 10 days.
See, I don't ever know what that means, though, because you say no more than 10 days, but then people go on a 10-day IL, and they're on for 90 games.
He's just taking a break. He got tired.
Yeah, whatever.
What was it, like a groin strain or something?
Yeah.
If it was anything
I'm pissed
IL,
about that, though.
I don't like it, but if they...
No, I'm pissed because here's why I'm pissed. Want me to tell you why I'm pissed?
I'm all ears.
Because Gio's been battling for that batting title, and he's always been like three games shy of qualifying, and now he's probably not going to qualify if he stays out for 10 games.
They were saying 10 games back, what, 15 games ago?
How many fucking at-bats does the guy need? It's so stupid. Like, the guy's been batting.
Is there something we're not understanding with the league?
This isn't like a war calculation. Like, I don't get how to do that. That's fine. But, like, the guy's been playing the majority of the year. Like, what am I not understanding?
He's got like 100, like
how many do
like
you fucking
less
need?
At bats than the guys ahead of him. I don't know how many you need, but
how many fucking at bats do you need to qualify? It's
all
crazy. He's been playing literally 90% of the season. Yeah.
This season, Gio Urshela has played in 114 games. Excuse me, I don't know how that's not qualifying.
How many games has there been?
130 something.
I mean. He qualifies in my book. If his batting average is higher than like Michael Brantley and DJ, I'm going to give him the batting title from, I don't know. He's got my batting pen.
He's playing in 120 games and has the best batting average, then fuck the MLB.
But if he doesn't qualify before, he's not going to qualify now because he's now, however many games he's out for, if he needed every game for the rest of the way to qualify, he's not going to qualify. So
we'll give him our own batting
title. It's like a side pot. he's got his own batting title if he gets it, whatever.
No, we'll give him one. So, we'll get him on the podcast and everything.
I mean, he barely speaks a lick of English, but he'll tell us.
I got a boy, he's Spanish.
All right, we'll have a translator. But with him going down, we got Voit coming up. And Voit comes in, and he already is looking good. I mean,
he got two singles on his first day back.
Yeah.
He looks
two walks all right. Today.
He looks a little off still, but
I mean, they even said. That's my problem here. Like, if he's coming back and he's battling through injury, like, I don't. Sports hernia is not something that he opted not to go to surgery, which means he's going to play through it when he's still hurt. So, like, is he going to be worse off? Is he going to be like, look at who was it on the Red Sox? Nate Eovaldi, he pitched through it, was awesome, and you get a World Series out of it, but then he is injured for the entire year next year.
But Eovaldi's different. He loves getting Tommy John.
I know. I'm just saying that actually brings me into the next little topic here. So, if with all these people that are hurt, my question for you guys is, do you go all in, pedal to the metal? A lot of people have been talking about it, including Michael Kay. It's like, do you go all in, pedal to the metal, down the stretch to really try and lock up home field advantage, but you risk any injury to any player on this team? Or do you, like, kind of, not really coast, but you're not, like today, for example, when they threw those two losers in the game and they gave up the four runs, I'm not even going to mention their names because they don't matter. But they were probably the 39th and 40th man on the roster. But they pulled those guys in and that sort of thing. Like, in a high-pressure situation, 0-0 game, you're saving yourself. You're throwing those guys out there to just possibly get by in winnable games. And you keep everybody healthy so that you go in the playoffs and you have 100% healthy. You're not going to get home field advantage, though, but you're going into maybe into Houston with a fully healthy team, everyone's back. What would you rather do?
We try to win every game. Every single game.
But with that scenario, anybody can get injured. Judge is out for the year.
Do you know what home field advantage means?
I know what home field advantage is. I'm the one who's busting the news out there with the stat things, but I'm just saying.
We are a team that everyone in the league knows. Obviously, we can win anywhere in any situation because we're the best team in baseball, but when we're home, we're just a different animal.
And that's the case with both of the other teams that we're competing with Houston and the Dodgers, too. That matters.
It does matter. So if you're saying we can play the way we've been playing, work our asses off, and look, it's sports. There's injuries.
Yeah.
They'll come back. As long as there's nothing really threatening for the rest of the year and we don't play stupidly, I say just keep the pedal to the metal and just keep it going.
The beginning of the season kind of messed up our mindset about how we were playing every game and a guy was getting hurt every single game. But we can't expect to get hurt when we play. We got to play all of our guys. I don't want them to have to come from not playing to going full metal, pedal to the metal in the playoffs.
What, like being rusty in the playoffs, you're saying?
Yeah.
2017 ALCS, Yankees against Astros. The home team won every single game of that series. The Yankees did not have home field advantage.
Yep. Aaron Judge is never sitting another game of baseball.
I'm just saying, because I'm on your team with this conversation too. I'm just thinking to myself, like, because we've never been in a situation like this.
We get hurt every day.
No, winning the division. Like, I mean, we have been in a situation like this, but as of recently, we've been going for wild cards and like skating by. Like, this is the first time we won the division in a little while. I don't know the exact amount of years, but like, we're playing from ahead right now, and this is kind of foreign as of late. And the way in which a lot of teams go about this is some teams do coast because they know, especially in a scenario that we have with all these heads coming back, like Encarnacion and the pitching and everything like that. Like, with my perfect examples, you're going to use guys like Britton, who's a little banged up. He's going to be fine. Like Gio, like you would throw him in the fire and keep him going. Like, that's pedal to the metal. Like, you're throwing guys that are half hurt, like 50%, like Voit him right now, which you are doing. But they even mixed signals with that whole fucking throwing those bums in to get almost blow a winnable game.
I think I threw the bums in because, I mean, we used, almost every pitcher from our bullpen yesterday?
Yeah, and they didn't want to use, if they had to, which they did use, Ottavino. But
Ottavino's disgusting.
That pitch. We were all not looking, and then we looked, and then everyone simultaneously saw the wiffle ball that was thrown.
For all you true Yankee fans out there, if you're anything like us, we had a look of disgust and joy on our face at the same time. That was crazy. Just filthy.
That ball was nuts. That was literally a wiffle ball. I don't know if you heard it. You were listening to it with John Sterling over there, but he probably even said how disgusting that ball was. It was just crazy. But
it looked like it was going to hit him.
And Ottavino actually gave him a rare run yesterday against the A's, but that never happens. There was a stat that said out of his last 32 appearances, he's blanked people in 30 of the last 32 appearances. Those other two that he's given up runs, it's been one.
Love to hear it.
I mean, he's been like out of this world, and the fact that I'll still pull for the guy that he still didn't make the All-Star team, and that's nuts. And he's just continuing to be nasty. So you guys are fully on board with the pedal to the metal?
Yes, 100%.
But here's one more thing on that topic. Because you go in and let's say...
That's how you go in feeling hot.
Yeah, that too. But like, if you can go in feeling not, if you're going against teams like the... I mean, we could be out there playing the Athletics, who we did win two against them in the last two games. But we're kind of series split on them. I think they're leading the series this year.
From what we've seen over the last few years, they're always in the same spot, and they always lose. They have a good team that will make it to the wild card and nothing more than that.
I wouldn't want to face them in a series.
I would.
You would?
Yeah. I'm not scared of Chris Davis also batting be home. 220 yeah, and Matt Chapman batting 270 with 30 home runs.
We're also never going to be playing them in the Coliseum, which is the house of horrors for us. We hate playing there.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, too. We'll be playing them at home if that's the case. And if we end up playing them in a series in the playoffs, wouldn't that mean that they would have beaten the Astros? I don't know how the seeding would work. Because if they can knock the Astros out for us, then we play them. Because that's how it could shape out, too. Home field, that could be another addition to this argument. Let's say maybe we don't get absolute home field and we rest up a little bit, but we wouldn't face the Astros, who would be the only ones above us, until the ALCS. So what if another team knocks them out? We still have home field because we're higher than any other team in seeding-wise.
I need a second to think about the bracket.
All right. No, I mean, regardless, the top two teams, it's the seeding is between us and the Astros.
Yeah.
So if we lose home field, it would only be to them because we're the two in the top of the race. So let's say, regardless, we're meeting them in the ALCS at the minimum. Like, we're not going to meet them before.
Yeah.
Because we're the two top seeds. So let's say another team like the Athletics knocks them out, and we still would have home field in the ALCS because they're not in it anymore.
So, if
that scenario could happen too, which is why resting could be good.
The wild card team would have to be the Astros. That's what you're saying.
No, the wild card wouldn't be the Astros. I'm saying when we get into they could be knocked out by another team, and then if they are knocked out by somebody other than us, we would have home field in that next matchup.
Wild card game.
Yeah. So what's the wild card look like right now with the Athletics and?
It was the Athletics and Cleveland.
Yeah,
Cleveland. I don't know. I think they're gonna fall off a little bit, especially with Jose Ramirez going down.
Found it. The current playoff picture looks as so: the Yankees in the one seed, the Astros in the two seed, and the Twins in the three seed. So we would either be playing Cleveland or Oakland, and then we would face the winner of that plays the winner of the Twins and the Astros.
So I'd 100% rather be the home seed, the one seed, because I'd rather have the Twins play the Astros than hoping that
one of them,
the winner
each other
of the wild card, beats the Astros.
So if we're the one seed, who are we playing first round?
The winner of the wild card
versus the Twins, or
and then the Twins would play the Astros.
Twins are in that. Okay.
The Twins and Astros would already be in there. They just play each other.
I'd rather not play the Twins. Yeah, no, home field advantage is definitely the top of my No, I would just put a little banter into this.
So we just wasted 10 minutes of your time?
No, but it's a legitimate thing because everyone's talking about it. And I think there are benefits to resting up a little bit because we haven't been healthy all year, and it would be nice to be healthy going into the playoffs because we'd have so many people healthy. And when healthy, my argument is, home field or not, when healthy, our team on paper is unbelievable.
So in other Yankee news, four players this season have all joined the 100th career home run club. Aaron Judge this past Tuesday against the Mariners hit his 100th home run. Gary Sanchez against the Dodgers hit his 100th home run. Didi against the Twins hit his 100th home run. And Brett Gardner, who's been on the team for how long?
12, I think.
12
seasons?
Years. Hit his 100th home run this season.
It's about time. I mean, the guy isn't a home run hitter.
Yeah.
But you can't hit 10 home runs a year or like 12 home runs a year, something like that?
he doesn't do that. I mean, this is the only year. I mean, this is clearly juice balls because guys like Brett Gardner. I was making this argument to somebody yesterday. The easiest way to see if there's juice balls is that guys like Brett Gardner, who have been in the league for 11, 12 years, if he suddenly is hitting home runs, like DJ LeMahieu too, he's a contact hitter. I get it. He's having an awesome year hitting-wise, but he also did that in Colorado a couple years ago when he won the batting title, and he didn't have this many home runs. And everyone's saying the argument like, oh, they're learning to swing differently. Like, not the guys who have been in the league for 12 years. They're not swinging differently. Like, if that's a clear...
It's not what the stats say.
What do you mean? I mean, they're not swinging differently. They're swinging as they always know. I mean,
in 2014, that, he had 17 home runs. In 2015, he had 16. In 2016, he had 7. 2017,
what are you talking about? Brett Gardner?
Brett Gardner. In 2017, he had 21. Last year, he had 12, and right now, he hit his 19th today.
Well, my perfect example would be the DJ effect. Like, that is the juiced balls, like, person to look at, because he has never – what are his stats with home runs? Because he's had his 24 this year, which is, like, 15 more than he's ever had, if I've looked at it. He's barely gotten 10 in other years. And a guy like him isn't swinging for the fences or, like, having that uppercut swing. The guys that are doing that are young guys like Vladdy Jr. and, like, Bo Bichette and all these young guys.
Okay, I can't argue about DJ. These stats. And he played in Colorado, which makes that argument even worse.
Okay, so read those stats out.
All right, so starting in 2011 from his rookie season, 0, 2, 2, 5, 6, 11, 8, 15, which was last year, and now 24 this so far.
Okay,
this year.
So do you think he's
the 15 last year? He changed his swing.
No,
he changed his swing.
You think it's just this year with the juice balls, or last year too?
No, I'm just saying he changed his swing.
Whatever, fuck this.
Guys now are taught to hit the bottom half of the baseball instead of the top half.
I feel like that's more for younger players though that are coming in. Like, is a guy like 31 years old going to adjust that much?
I mean. And then I bring in the argument of Gio. Like, he's never been a premier hitter in the league.
Well, he's also breaking out, though. That's different.
And he had to have done something that he's able to hit balls now.
Whatever, you win. All right. So let's move on to, I mean, have we talked about Judge yet? We talked about it in the last episode a little bit. Judge has been tweaking. And I saw another stat about Judge, and he has been out of this world.
Don't get Judge hot.
Don't let the man get hot. Don't let the Red Sox get hot. But I mean, Judge has been absolutely tweaking, and I saw a stat in the last 50 at-bats, he has 22 hits, and that includes, in that 50 at-bats, that includes walks. So that means I'm not just going to pull a number out of here, but he's batting around 600 in the last 50 at-bats, because included in that 50 at-bats, there's walks too. Like, those aren't like that. Like, he has 22 hits in all those 50 at bats. It's crazy.
That's one bad.
And it's against good teams too.
Aaron Judge getting hot towards playoff time is just something no team wants to see.
We needed it.
When we were at the wild card game last year, and Aaron Judge hit a piss missile.
That was against fucking Liam Hendricks too. Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
I hate him. But I mean, people were talking about it. Like, did he peak too early? No. I mean, what is too early? Being good for, like, can he keep it going? Like, yeah. I mean, he does this. It's now September. Like, he knows, like, the pressure, like, how important these games are down the stretch, and he lives for that kind of shit. Like, he's always sick in the wild card games. Like, even against the Twins in that wild card game before, he had that fucking home run that put us ahead.
So cool.
That was so
sick. The wild card game, though.
Yeah, I'm so hyped not to play in the wild card. I'm excited to watch the wild card game, but, like, not be sweating like Aroldis Chapman during the game. That shit sucks. I hate, and we've been doing it so often.
Yeah.
It blows.
Is Aroldis Chapman the Kevin Garnett of baseball? The one who's just the sweatiest person in the entire league?
Yeah.
Probably.
I mean, he's already sweating through his shirt. Like, when he's in the bullpen.
He's also wearing full-on Under Armour in 85-degree humid weather.
And he started wearing no sleeves, and
he's yoked.
He's throwing, like, yoked. 103 now.
You don't even realize how yoked he is, but he's so yoked. When he takes those long sleeve, that turtleneck off, he's just absolutely yoked.
And tatted.
Tatted, too.
He squats about 500, benches upper 300s.
Well, no wonder he...
So low-key, too.
He's a large man.
No wonder he's able to throw the fastball the way he does.
Let's talk a little about him.
What about him?
I
want to tell the fans my theory.
What do you think about Chapman?
All right, so here's my theory on Aroldis Chapman. Everyone here knows it already. I think he's too good for the sport.
What the fuck does that mean?
I
think he likes to put pressure on himself, because if you haven't noticed, every single time the man gets up to pitch, he'll get an out, or he'll walk a guy or plunk a guy, He'll have runners on the corner.
And you're saying he does it on purpose to make it more fun.
To make it more fun.
That is crazy.
That's the trash theory.
Every single time he gets out of it.
Take his mic away.
I commute him.
That is crazy.
No, I mean, he kind of does the whole.
Like, I get it.
I know. That's just nonsense.
Like, I get it, but. Dude,
no,
what?
That's the whole. He kind of has like the Kimbrel effect of last year. Like whenever we'd face Kimbrel, we noticed like Kimbrel would always like yeah he would get out of it in the end, but he would always make it hard on himself. And every Red Sox fan can tell you that too. We were talking with someone the other day. I forget who it was, but like every single time he went out there, he made it so much harder on himself, and he'd get the out. But, like Chapman goes out there and he just walks the first guy, he walks the second guy, the next guy gets a hit or something like that, and then he just strikes the next three out, or like strikes out one and then gets a double play. It's ridiculous. And I feel like Chapman kind of as of, well, before, we were talking about this yesterday, where he's kind of just like a thrower, not a pitcher.
And he developed into more of a pitcher.
A pitcher.
After that second time we got him, even though it felt like we never even lost him.
I mean, his slider when it's on is just absurd.
Exactly, and that's what he had to develop because I mean, he still throws fucking hard as shit, but
because
he's not touching that 106 where he used to touch with the Reds.
Yeah,
and there's
he's
also
been heating up,
yeah,
though.
But he's been touching 102, which
he
is
has,
still absurd.
Which is absurd.
Yeah.
Like, but there are other guys. There's other guys in the league now that are throwing 101, 100.
That's what I was
going to
say.
Don't have the slider that he has.
Even Lasagna throws 99, and that's the point. That's where he developed that pitch
because
to become more of a pitcher instead of a thrower.
If his fastball is on, and then he just sneaks in a little slider.
That slider's gross.
They're staring at it because at first they're just going to think, oh, it's going to be a ball up and away, and then just boom, right down the middle.
Yeah,
because
you have to prepare for the fastball. And even I was saying this too yesterday. Even if he doesn't have that 104 anymore, he's still Aroldis Chapman, and you're still going out there once you see him looking at you like that, and you still have to prepare for that 104 because he can touch it, like we were saying.
Yes.
We were watching the game yesterday, and he was kind of sitting at 96 sometimes where he'd flat.
Which is literally a changeup because
it's kind of crazy.
6 to 8 miles per hour slower than his fastest.
And then
fastball.
His slider goes, what, 80-something?
86, give or take.
But it's kind of crazy. There's such a difference in his fastballs. Like, he has a faster fastball, and he'll just get pissed and just gas one by you.
That's kind of what Verlander does too.
Exactly, because Verlander can
throw
just
a no hitter today.
That's yeah.
By
whatever.
The way,
fuck them,
Blue Jays.
Which is why we
doesn't
need,
even count.
We need home field. No, I take my I take anything I said before back. We need home field so bad.
You mean the only pitcher in the league that scares me?
There's a few other ones that scare me.
He really might be the only one.
I'm the only. That's the only pitcher I'm scared
he
of.
He just. I mean, I was about to say he just daddies us. But he daddies everybody. Like, yeah. He's just really good. He might, I don't know, I'm going to take a hot take out here. He could possibly be one of the best pitchers we've ever seen. Or the
I
best.
Agree.
Like, very, over Kershaw. Can people say Kershaw is the generational pitcher? No. I think it might be Verlander.
Kershaw's overrated.
I don't agree with that. Kershaw's been hurt on and off the last 3 years, but besides that, he's just on. After this podcast, I'm
going. What do you got, Dan? What's your take on this, Dan?
Agreed.
I mean,
greatest pitcher since Sandy Koufax.
I saw the stats. I saw the stats today about like the most no hitters thrown. I mean, Kershaw, you know, Verlander now has 3. Koufax had 4, and then Nolan Ryan had 7. I mean, that's just that's disgusting. No starting pitcher on the Yankees can fucking do that right now. Imagine J Happ went out there. I mean, J Happ. Let's talk about the Yankees a little more. We took a little tangent. This is a Yankees podcast. J-Hap threw a gem today.
Breath of fresh air.
I mean, great. I mean, it's been like that, though, with the starters.
It's on and off, though, because next week he can go out and throw a 3-inning, 6-run game against the
Domingo
fucking,
looked good
Baltimore.
Yesterday. Domingo's always looked good.
Domingo,
he got
Domingo at home is
did
also
did he get the win
animal.
Yesterday?
No, it was a walk-off.
That sucks. That would have been dope if he got his 18th win. That'd be the MLB lead. I mean, actually, no. Now for Verlander, has 18 now, too.
Oh, he does?
Verlander's fucking guys. I hate him.
That's so disappointing.
He scares
imagine
me.
Verlander losing the win title to Domingo Germán.
I mean, Domingo's been playing well, but yeah, Verlander. I mean, everyone makes like the win stat is kind of like, it's kind of overrated.
It's not overrated when your ERA is what Verlander's is because that means that,
that, he that means he's winning
it.
Yeah. I mean, Domingo is more of a beneficiary of having eight. I mean, I heard a stat too. His average run support is around 8.1.
That's what
he gets.
When Nathan Eovaldi was on the Yankees a few years ago, he led the league the entire year with run support. I think it was about 7.
Yeah,
so
it's kind of
goes basically in the same shoes.
The win stat is kind of useless. I mean, the only other person who has more run support or averages more run support in the league after the only one who has more run support than Domingo Germán is Erod on the Red Sox, and he has like 8.2, and that's why I saw his stats, and he had like however many wins. He's having a good year, but he's also had all the run support in the world too. So the win stat is just useless. That's not to say Domingo's bringing his ERA down, but I mean it's kind of scary that the best pitcher on our staff still has over a 4 ERA. He's like a 4.03, but everyone else is in the 4s or 5s.
I wish we had a top tier pitcher.
It's too late now. We got what we got, and I think it's good enough.
I think
we
can still win with it.
I mean, let's talk about the pitchers a little bit too, because with the injuries coming back,
yeah. Well, going into the playoffs, the rotations become smaller. So, how do you think that's going to break down?
Well, I said this last episode or a couple episodes ago, and I'm not too worried about the starters. I think it's more about innings, and if we have a plethora of arms and spread innings over all those guys, that's perfectly fine. Like if we throw more arms out there, and we don't have the conventional Verlander who goes 7 every time. Like, we don't have that. We just don't. And there's no, like, it's almost more, like, detrimental if we try and stretch our starters that we do have to 7 all the time. Like, we have to just know that they're going to go 4 or 5. That's it. You're going to give it to the bullpen.
And then we're going to have
starters. But we have more arms. Yeah. But we have more arms. We might go 3 starting pitchers rotation, 3 or 4. And then have guys like Happ in the bullpen, who I'm actually kind of happy
it's
with
crazy
now.
Crazy, because before this game today, I said I wanted Happ off the team.
It's one game can change your mind, yeah. But like that doesn't mean that he's going to get a starting spot. I think, it gives him more confidence to have a lefty out of the pen.
Yes,
but that's a good thing too because we got Seve coming back, and he'll be a bullpen long relief, like Lasagna kind of arm.
Montgomery coming
Lasagna
back,
could be, talk about you were talking about Montgomery. What do you think about him?
I just think it's big to have him back. We need the arms.
We don't know what we're getting though.
That's also true. He hasn't pitched in, what, a year and a half, 2 years?
And was he, like, anything special?
He had very nice pitches.
Tell me a little bit about him. I forget all about Montgomery.
I mean, let me look up the pitches he had, because he had a lot. He had a whole lot in his arsenal.
I mean, he just... I remember he was always going to be in that rotation for... What the fuck?
Victory!
He was always going to be in that rotation, but... And, like, they were talking about him being, like, one of the... guys going forward, but then he got injured. But I still not really too high on him. But regardless, having him back is another arm.
Yeah, it's huge.
And we can spread that over all
and
the arms.
Having another lefty.
And then we got Betances and Seve coming back, and then it's just extra arms. We already have a deep bullpen. We got guys like fucking... We might not even have to use like the Nestor Cortezes and stuff like that, but we have them.
Nestor.
I like Nestor.
Everyone likes Nestor. I don't really like Nestor anymore.
He's so slightly above average.
I like Lasagna.
No, I take Nestor over Lasagna.
I mean, Lasagna can't really
Lasagna's
pitch.
Got good stuff, but he can't find the zone.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like Canely 2 years ago.
I like Nestor.
I love Canely.
Canely couldn't touch the strike zone.
I love Canely. I want Canely injected into my veins. Canely's so fucking good. He just, I mean, but that's the thing, too.
His victory laps today?
Yeah, he just ran into the bullpen. He just gets the whole team fired up, and having him in the bullpen just adds that little, like, X factor. And, like... Going in the playoffs, if like I was saying before to my point, we have a bunch of guys who will start the game, go about 4, and not stretch them. Like, there's no need to stretch them because if you stretch them, those, like, 5th and 6th innings with our starters, you're going to give up runs. It's just how it's been going with this team. Domingo has the innings limit, but they're going to let him rock. But, like, the innings limit still applies with him. Like, you still don't want to make him throw maybe 100 pitches, like maybe put him 2 times through the order and then pull him, because then the 3rd time through the order he'll be getting rocked. Like, there was a crazy stat with Johnny Lasagna where he's been batting, or opponents have been hitting about like 180 against him the first time through the order, and then the 2nd time through the order they're batting like 330.
Yeah, well, they bat 180 and he has 12 walks, so
yeah, I mean, the OBP is just ridiculous with him. But well, I think
let's get back to what we were talking about. If the playoffs were to start right now, who are your 3 to 4 starters?
I'm going to go with 3. I'm going to go with Paxton, who's looked great, Domingo, who's looked great, Tanaka, those 3. And then the rest of them, I think we cut it there as in terms of our starters, and those guys are the ones that are going to start the games and go about 4 or 5, no more. And then we use a lot of arms and just spread it out amongst them. And just, like, fill those innings gaps and have a lot of good arms and let them go for a little bit each time.
Are you opposed to any bullpen days in the playoffs?
I don't mind it. I'll do an opener with Chad.
Yeah, Chad Green as an opener has been lights out this year. I wouldn't mind that at all.
Yeah, but I don't know if we'll need it, though.
No, but I'm just saying if we find ourselves in, like, a sticky situation where, like, we've used guys and the amount of days off doesn't really work out, just have one bullpen day and reset the whole rotation.
I'd be down with that. And it's been working, so, I mean, why not? There's no need. I mean, regardless, I mean, what is an opener? I mean, we basically do openers all the time with our starters if they go fucking one inning. So we've been doing the openers all season, every start, because, I mean, Paxton gives up a million runs in the first. He's been good recently. But hammering it back home, I think spreading it amongst all the arms is the it solves our starter problem. We don't have a pitching staff as a whole.
You're telling me, say Paxton's got four shutout innings, let up maybe two hits. You're taking him out after the fourth?
No. No.
What was it? If he has four shutout innings?
So you were saying before you would have your three starters go like three or four innings and then put it up to the bullpen.
If Paxton's got a four-inning shutout.
That was a very loose argument. I was saying in general, if he's given up like three runs, like an average start, and he's got all of our pitchers usually have a lot of like pitches. Like they don't spare their pitches very much, all of them. And I think I don't want to go that third time in the order and then give up a big home run because they just don't have it. And our pitchers aren't like that. They don't. Like, when's the last time? I mean, we freaked out when Tanaka went a full nine.
Yeah.
Like, that happens on a daily basis with the Astros rotation. And I think we shouldn't try and force ourselves to be like them. We should do what we're doing and spread it out amongst a lot of good arms and then add more arms, like Jay Happ in the bullpen or Betances and Severino and all that. That's what I think. I think we don't have to mimic other people. I think we should just do what we're doing.
Agreed.
And I think let's talk about Severino a little bit because I saw that everyone was, like, hyped about that, like, him pitching with the Rail Riders and all that stuff. And they're like, oh, like, Severino throws – he strikes out the first batter he faced. And then I looked into the stats and we were like, oh, my God, Severino's back. He hit 96, which is great. Don't get me wrong. And I know he's not going to do great his first time, but, like, the propaganda about it, like, everyone's like, yo, Sevy's sick. And I look at the stats – and he actually gave up, like, three runs. He gave up a home run. Like, I get it. He's not going to be an ace when he comes back. And I like that he's pitching. And he looked decent, but, like, he didn't look decent. He looked bad. And it's in AAA.
I mean, I'm not scared.
There it is.
I'm not scared either. But it's just a little food for thought. Wow. I mean, he didn't.
Another injured player on the Yankees. How will we do it?
What?
How will we go through with another injured player? I just don't know.
What are you talking about?
It's called sarcasm.
Who's injured on the Yankees?
We're not just talking about Severino making his rehab start?
Yeah, but that's been... Shut up.
Shut up.
He didn't get re-injured.
Yeah, but he's coming off an injury.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I don't... Everyone was like, oh my God, Severino's back looks great, and it's just funny to look at what he actually did, and nobody talked about that. But regardless, and then Encarnacion was in that game too. He hits a single, and he was an RBI too. So he's coming back. He looks good. And I think all these guys are going to slowly be coming back. Betances is right behind Severino in terms of his rehabbing.
Betances is a huge one, too.
Betances is a huge one. And that goes back to my point with a bunch of arms. Like, to have a ton of arms and just spread a bunch of innings and all, like, sprinkle them all around them.
Five horsemen.
That'd be crazy. And then I would consider Severino a part of that, too.
Six horsemen.
We'll have so many horses.
We got a cavalry.
That'd be crazy.
Now our starters only have to pitch three innings.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, give up eight runs in six in three innings and we're...
Yeah,
I mean, we also got to think about this, though, because a lot of the pitchers won't be on the roster in the playoffs if everyone comes back.
Well, yeah, they have to lock in 25 for each series. They have the choice. They have the 40-man for September, then they have a choice of 40 for each series, but they have to lock in 25 for that series.
Yes.
So they have a pool of 40 people to choose from, but they have to pick 25 and they have to lock it in for the whole series, and then they can reevaluate and then choose a new 25. If we move on, which you're going to. And then we do it again and again, and then we win the World Series. That's my prediction.
Fun fact for next year, though, they are changing the 40-man roster down to 28. And the entire season, instead of having a 25-man roster, you're going to have a 26-man roster. They're changing it because they feel that in September, it's usually the most important games.
You want your best players.
And it just completely changes the dynamic of how you manage your team having 40 guys as opposed to 25.
Yeah. I mean, then you don't got those fucking bums that are throwing in the game like we had today.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't know.
But it really does suck for the kids trying to come up.
Yeah, but those guys shouldn't really be playing in these kind of games anyway.
Like, Clint Frazier would not be on our roster. Just think about that.
Let's talk a little more about Clint. Clint's a hot topic right now, and I'm a big Clint supporter. I don't have Damon here behind me to help me out with this one, but I like Clint a lot. He's the biggest Clint supporter out there, and I really think he has a spot in the playoffs. I think his bat, imagine being able to pinch hit with him. Brooks?
I'm sorry.
Come back to us. I think having Clint Frazier out there to be able to pinch hit, like,
no.
Why not?
We have so
Why
many.
Why did you shoot me down like that?
There's so many people on this team that have proven to be better hitters than Clint that could be on this
roster. So you had to choose between Clint Frazier, let me finish, Cameron Maben, Mike Talkman. Who are you picking?
Mike Talkman, and then Cameron Maben, and then Clint.
But what if the only spot available is a pinch hitter? Like, it's not like a whole. He's not going to play in the field.
Mike Talkman.
What about you, Corbin?
That was tough.
I don't know. I think Clint's bat's sick.
If you look at the stats, they're practically identical between him and Clint. And I just like Talkman better. Because if you had to throw Talkman in the field, now you can.
What about Mike Ford?
100% Mike Ford. Not even a question.
You really that high on Mike Ford now?
Yes. To be fair, before we had the podcast, like, earlier.
We hated Mike Ford. Now you love Mike Ford?
I liked Mike Ford.
Oh,
read the
messages. Were the guy who liked Mike Ford.
He was having good at-bats. He was seeing pitches well. And now it's just all coming together.
Now the guy bats 500 in a week. And, I liked Mike Ford the whole time.
You want me to scroll back in the
messages? Not right now. We'll get to
it. I wish we had a podcast back then.
No. I mean, Mike Ford, I like him. I mean, we were talking about it before, too. The guy was Babe Ruth, for lack of a better person to pick. Babe Ruth sucks, but...
Just because he's fat.
He was putting up video game numbers in the minors, and he comes up and he just bats 0-for, and we're like, all right, there can't be that big of a discrepancy between your minor league at-bats to now. He was nervous. He's a big body. I mean, the guy can flat-out hit. And we have a lot of those type of players who are like the first base DH type, and that kind of scares me a little bit because a lot of our versatility is in only that spot.
And then we got DJ. He makes up for all the rest.
Why can't lefties hit as far as righties?
Is that proven?
Wait, what?
It just seems like every time Mike Ford hits a home run...
You got guys like Bryce Harper who hit a mile. What do you mean?
Every time every time I see Mike Ford hitting a home run where off the bat it looks like a nuke, then I get this notification.
How far was that one today?
The last one I think was like 370.
It looked like a bomb. It went in the dugout. Bullpen, I mean,
I'm going to check, but every time, for the most part, at least with Mike Ford, he's just so big and it goes fucking 360.
That's all we need.
If it goes over the fence, what does it matter?
I think we're just spoiled because we got Gary Sanchez, Aaron Judge, and
394. That's a little more than I thought.
Yeah, that's a shout.
But I'm going to
that's a good piece.
I'm going to go to yesterday's game.
Yeah, but I think we're just spoiled with righties because we got Gary Sanchez, Judge, and Stanton. Like,
yeah, I mean,
stupid.
Whatever. And regardless, another cool stat. This season has been like just riddled with like little records and all this kind of shit. And like with all these injuries, the fact that we are the first team to win 90 games. It's just beautiful. It's so cool. Especially with teams like the Dodgers and the Astros. Like, you go out there and did they get their 90th win too today? I think they did.
They're playing right now.
The
Astros, yes. They got their 89th win. I thought you were talking about the Dodgers.
The Dodgers were winning 2-0 last time I looked.
Yep, they are down 3-2, and Jake loves losing bets.
What, you took the Dodgers?
Yes, I did.
Well, I don't give a fuck if you lose them because that means they lose. Yes. I mean, well, we're the first team to get 90 wins, and with this team, that's crazy. I think we said it before. We're going to keep winning against the series against Texas. Is that at home, too, right?
Probably, because we were just.
It is at home. But then we go back on a big road trip.
We're home against Texas tomorrow.
Then we go on a big road trip. I think after that, we got somebody, and then the Boston series again. I mean, I think we got that series.
We got Boston.
But they're low key sneaking around. They're around the corner.
We could actually put them in the dirt this time.
We'll ruin their spirits.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter.
And then we got the Tigers
after that. What?
Boston's five.
Tigers after that, the Blue Jays after that. We got a good stretch of games.
Okay, cool. So pedal to the metal. I think we can start wrapping it up then. So we got those series coming up after that. We got a few good ones that we can just beat down. Like, we don't have the Orioles anymore, but we got the next best thing with the Tigers. And, yeah, let's keep this winning thing going.
About to break 110 wins.
Roll Yanks.
Any last closing comments? Let's go, Yanks. All right. See you guys later.
Show me what you want. Show me what you see.